Hello, Year 11s. The teachers of Chalk Hills Academy are bringing you a very special production of An Inspector Calls.
Giving us the port, Edna. That's right. You ought to like this port, Gerald. As a matter of fact, Finchley told me it's exactly the same port your father gets from him.
Then it'll be all right. The governor prides himself on being a good judge of port. I don't pretend to know much about it.
I should jolly well think not, Gerald. I'd hate you to know all about port, like one of these purple-faced old men.
Here, I'm not a purple-faced old man.
No, not yet, but then you don't know all about port, do you?
Now then, Sybil, you must take a little tonight. Special occasion, you know, eh?
Yes, go on, Mummy, you must drink our health.
Very well then, just a little, thank you. All right, Edna, I'll ring you from the drawing room when we want coffee. Probably in about half an hour.
Yes, Mum.
Well, well, this is very nice. Very nice. Good dinner too, Sybil. Tell cook from me.
Absolutely first class.
Arthur, you're not supposed to say such things.
Oh, come, come. I'm treating Gerald like one of the family, and I'm sure he won't object.
Go on, Gerald. Just you object.
Wouldn't dream of it. In fact, I insist on being one of the family now. I've been trying long enough, haven't I? Haven't I? You know I have.
Of course she does.
Yes, except for all last summer when you never came near me and I wondered what had happened to you.
And I've told you I was awfully busy at work all that time.
Yes, that's what you say.
Now, Sheila, don't tease him. When you're married, you'll realise that men with important work to do sometimes have to spend nearly all their time and energy on their business. You'll have to get used to that, just as I had.
I don't believe I will. So you just be careful.
Oh, I will. I will.
Now, what's the joke?
I don't know, really. Suddenly I felt I just had to laugh.
You're squiffy.
No, I'm not.
What an expression, Sheila. Really, the things you girls pick up these days.
If you think that's the best she can do.
Don't be an ass,
now,
Eric.
Now stop it, you two. Arthur, what about this famous toast of yours?
Yes, of course. Well, Gerald, I know you agreed that we should only have this quiet little family party. It's a pity Sir George and Lady Croft can't be with us, but they're abroad, and so it can't be helped. As I told you, they sent me a very nice cable. Couldn't be nicer. I'm not sorry that we're celebrating quietly like this.
Much nicer, really.
I agree.
So do I, but it makes speech-making more difficult.
Well, don't do any. We'll drink to their health and have done with it.
No, we won't. It's one of the happiest nights of my life. And one day, I hope, Eric, when you're a daughter of your own, you'll understand why. Gerald, I'm going to tell you frankly, without any pretenses, that your engagement to Sheila means a tremendous lot to me. She'll make you happy. And I'm sure you'll make her happy. You're just the kind of son-in-law I always wanted. Your father and I have been friendly rivals in business for some time now. Through Crofts Limited, are both older and bigger than Burley and Company. And now you've brought us together. And perhaps we may look forward to the time when Crofts and Burlings are no longer competing, but are working together for lower costs and higher prices.
Hear, hear. And I think my father would agree to that.
Now, Arthur, I don't think you ought to talk business on an occasion like this.
Neither do I. All wrong.
Quite so. I agree with you. I only mentioned it in passing. What I did want to say was that Sheila's a lucky girl, and I think you're a pretty fortunate young man too, Gerald.
I know I am. This once, anyhow.
So here's wishing the pair of you the very best that life can bring. Gerald and Sheila.
Yes, Gerald and Sheila, darling, and our congratulations and very best wishes.
Thank you.
Eric?
All the best. She's got a nasty temper sometimes, but she's not bad really, good old Sheila.
Chump, I can't drink to this, can I? When do I drink?
You can drink to me.
All right then, I drink to you. Gerald.
Thank you, and I drink to you, and I hope I make you as happy as you deserve to be.
You be careful or I'll start weeping.
Well, perhaps this will help to stop it.
Oh, Gerald, you got it! It's the one you wanted me to have.
Yes, the very one.
Oh, it's wonderful. Look, Mummy, isn't it a beauty? Oh, darling.
Steady the buffs.
I think it's perfect. Now I really feel engaged.
So you are, darling. It's a lovely ring. Be careful with it.
Careful? I'll never let it go out of my sight for an instant.
Well, it came just the right moment. That was clever of you, Gerald. Now, Arthur, if you're no more to say, I think Sheila and I had better go into a drawing room and leave you men.
I just want to say this. Are you listening, Sheila? This concerns you too. And after all, I don't often make speeches at you.
I'm sorry, Daddy. Actually, I was listening.
I'm delighted about this engagement, and I hope it won't be too long before you're married. And I want to say this. There's a good deal of silly talk about these days, but, and I speak as a hard-headed businessman who has to take risks and know what he's about, I say, you can ignore all this silly, pessimistic talk. When you marry, you'll be marrying at a very good time. Yes, a very good time, and soon it'll be an even better time. Last month, just because the miners came out on strike, there's a lot of wild talk about possible labour trouble in the near future. Don't worry, we've passed the worst of it. We employers, at last, are coming together to see that our interests and interests of capital are properly protected. And we're in for a time of steadily increasing prosperity.
I believe you're right, sir.
What about war?
Glad you mentioned it, Eric. I'm coming to that. Just because the Kaiser makes a speech or two, or a few German officers have too much to drink and begin talking nonsense, you'll hear some people say that the war's inevitable. And to that I say, fiddlesticks. The Germans don't want war. Nobody wants war, except some half-civilized folks in the Balkans. And why? There's too much at stake these days. Everything to lose and nothing to gain by war.
Yes, I know, but still.
Just let me finish, Eric. You're a lot to learn yet, and I'm talking as a hard-headed, practical man of business. And I say this isn't a chance of war. The world's developing so fast that it'll make war impossible. Look at the progress we're making. In a year or two, we'll have aeroplanes that'll be able to go anywhere. And look at the way the automobiles making headway. Bigger and faster all the time. And then ships. Why, a friend of mine went over this new liner last week, the Titanic. She sails next week. 46,800 tons. 46,800 tons. New York in 5 days. And very luxury. And unsinkable. Absolutely unsinkable. That's what you've got to keep your eye on. Facts like progress like that, and not a few German officers talking nonsense and a few scaremongers here making a fuss about nothing. Now, you three young men, just listen to this and remember what I'm telling you now. In 20 or 30 years' time, let's say in 1940, you'll be giving a little party like this. Your son or daughter might be getting engaged, and I tell you, by that time, you'll be living in a world that they'll have forgotten all these capital versus labour agitations and all these silly little war scares. There'll be peace and prosperity and rapid progress everywhere, except, of course, in Russia, where they'll always be behindhand, naturally.
Arthur?
Yes, my dear. I know I'm talking too much, but you youngsters just remember what I said. We can't let these Bernard Shaw and H.G. Wells do all the talking. We hard-headed, practical businessmen must say something sometime. And we don't guess. We've had experience, and we know.
Yes, of course, dear. Well, don't keep Gerald in here too long. Eric, I want you a minute.
Cigar?
No, thanks. Can't really enjoy them.
Ah, you don't know what you're missing. I like a good cigar. Help yourself.
Thank you.
Thanks. By the way, there's something I'd like to mention. In strict confidence, while we're by ourselves, I had an idea that your mother, Lady Croft, while she doesn't object to my girl, feels you might have done better for yourself socially.
No,
Gerald. That's all right. Don't blame her. She comes from an old country family, landed people and so forth. And so it's only natural. But what I wanted to say is, there's a fair chance that I might find my way into the next honours list. Just the knighthood, of course.
Oh, I say, congratulations.
Thanks, but it's a bit too early for that. So don't say anything. But I've had a hint or two, you see. I was Lord Mayor here 2 years ago when royalty visited us. And I've always been regarded as a sound, useful party man. So well, I gather there's a very good chance of a knighthood. So long as we behave ourselves, don't get into the police court or start a scandal, eh?
You seem to be a very nice, well-behaved family.
We think we are.
So, if that's the only obstacle, sir, I think you might as well accept my congratulations now.
No, no, I couldn't do that, and don't say anything yet.
Not even to my mother. I know she'd be delighted.
Well, when she comes back, you might drop a hint to her, and you can promise to her that we'll try to keep out of trouble during the next few months.
What's the joke? Started telling stories?
No. Want another glass of port?
Yes, please. Mother says we mustn't stay too long, but I don't think it matters. I've left them talking about clothes again. You'd think a girl never had any clothes before she got married. Women are potty about them.
Yes, but you've got to remember, my boy, that clothes mean something quite different to a woman. Not just something to wear, and not only something to make him look prettier, but, well, a sort of sign or token of their self-respect.
That's true.
Yes, I remember.
Well, what do you remember?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Sounds a bit fishy to me.
Yes, you don't know what some of these boys get up to nowadays. More money to spend and time to spare than I had when I was Eric's age. They worked us hard in those days and kept us short of cash. Though even then, we broke out and had a bit of fun sometimes.
I bet you did.
But this is the point. I don't want to lecture you two young fellows again. But what so many of you don't seem to understand now, when things are so much easier, is that a man has to make his own way, has to look after himself, and his family too. Of course, when he has won, and has so long as he does want, he won't come to much harm. But the way some of these cranks talk, and right now, you'd think everybody has to look after everyone else, as if we were all mixed up together, like bees in a hive, community, and all that nonsense. But take my word for it, you youngsters, and I've learnt it in the good hard school of experience, that a man has to mind his own business and look after himself and his own, and...
Somebody at the front door.
Edna, answer it. Well, have another glass of port, Gerald, and then we'll join the ladies. That'll stop me giving you guys advice.
Yes, you've parted on rather a bit tonight, Father.
Special occasion, and feeling contented for once. I wanted you to have the benefit of my experience.
Please, sir, an inspector's called.
An inspector? What kind of inspector?
A police inspector. He said his name's Inspector Gall.
Don't know him. Does he want to see me?
Yes, sir. He says it's very important.
All right, Edna. Show him here. Give us some more light. I'm still on the bench. It may be something about a warrant.
Sure to be. Unless Eric's been up to something. And that would be awkward, wouldn't it?
Very.
Hey, what do you mean?
Only something we were talking about when you were out. A joke, really.
Well, I don't think it's very funny.
What's the matter with you?
Nothing.
Inspector Gall. Mr. Burling.
Yes? Sit down, Inspector.
Thank you, sir.
Have a glass of port or a little whiskey?
No, thank you, Mr. Burling. I'm on duty.
You're new, aren't you?
Yes, sir. Only recently transferred.
I thought you must be. I was an alderman for years and Lord Mayor 2 years ago. And I'm still on the bench. So I know the Bromley police officers pretty well. And I thought I'd never seen you before.
Quite so.
Well, what can I do for you? Some trouble about a warrant?
No, Mr. Burling.
Well, what is it then?
I'd like some information, if you don't mind, Mr. Burling. 2 hours ago, a young woman died in the infirmary. She'd been taken there this afternoon because she swallowed a lot of disinfectant. Burnt her inside out, of course.
Oh my God.
Yes, she was in great agony. They did everything they could for her at the infirmary, but she died. Suicide, of course.
Yes, yes, horrible business, but I don't understand why you should come here, Inspector.
I've been round the room she had, and she left a letter there, a sort of diary, like a lot of these young women who get into various kinds of trouble. She used more than one name, but her original name, her real name, was Eva Smith.
Eva Smith?
Do you remember her, Mr. Burling?
No. I seem to remember hearing that name, Eva Smith, somewhere, but it doesn't convey anything to me. And I don't see where I come into this.
She was employed in your works at one time.
Oh, that's it, is it? Well, we've seen 100 young women there, you know, and they keep changing.
This young woman, Eva Smith, was a bit of out of the ordinary. I found a photograph of her in her lodgings. Perhaps you'd remember her from that.
Any particular reason why I shouldn't see this girl's photograph, Inspector?
There might be.
And the same applies to me, I suppose.
Yes.
Oh, I can't imagine what it could be.
Neither can I.
And I must say, I agree with them, Inspector.
It's the way I like to go to work. One person, one line of inquiry at a time. Otherwise, there's a muddle.
I see. Sensible, really. You've had enough of that poor Eric.
I think you remember Eva Smith now, don't you, Mr. Burling?
Yes, I do. She was one of my employees, and then I discharged her.
Is that why she committed suicide? When was this, Father?
Just keep quiet, Eric, and don't get excited. This girl left us nearly 2 years ago. Let me see, it must have been in the early autumn of 1910.
Yes, end of September 1910.
That's right.
Look here, sir. Wouldn't you rather I was out of this?
I don't mind you being here, Gerald. And I'm sure you've no objection, have you, Inspector? Perhaps I ought to explain first that this is Mr. Gerald Croft, the son of Sir George Croft, you know. Crofts Limited.
Mr. Gerald Croft, eh?
Yes, incidentally, we've been modestly celebrating his engagement to my daughter, Sheila.
I see. Mr. Croft is going to marry Miss Sheila Burling.
I hope so.
Then I'd prefer you to stay.
Oh, all right.
Look, there's nothing mysterious or scandalous about this business, at least not so far as I'm concerned. It's a perfectly straightforward case, and as it happened more than 18 months ago, nearly 2 years ago. Obviously, it has nothing whatsoever to do with the Richard girl's suicide. Eh, Inspector?
No, sir. I can't agree with you there.
Why not?
Because what happened to her then may have determined what happened to her after. And what happened to her afterwards may have driven her to suicide. A chain of events.
Oh, well, put it like that. There's something in what you say. Still, I can't accept any responsibility. We were all responsible for everything that happened to everybody we'd had anything to do with. It would be very awkward, wouldn't it?
Very awkward.
We'd all been in a possible position, wouldn't we?
By Jove, yes. And as you were saying, Dad, a man has to look after himself.
Yes, well, we needn't go into all that.
Go into what?
Oh, just before you came, I'd been giving these young men a little good advice. Now, about this girl, Eva Smith. I remember her quite well now. She was a lively, good-looking girl. Country bred, I fancy. And she's been working in one of those machine shops for over a year. A good worker too. In fact, the foreman there told me that he was ready to promote her into what we call a leading operator. Head of a small group of girls. But after they came back from their holiday that August, they were all rather restless. A and they suddenly decided to ask for more money. They were averaging about 22 and 6, which was neither more nor less than is paid generally in our industry. They wanted the rates raised so that they could average about 25 shillings a week. I refused, of course.
Why?
Did you say why?
Yes, why did you refuse?
Well, Inspector, I don't see that is any concern of yours, how I choose to run my business. Is it now?
It might be, you know.
I don't like your tone.
I'm sorry, but you asked me a question.
And you asked me a question before that. A quite unnecessary question too.
It's my duty to ask questions.
Well, it's my duty to keep labour costs down. And if I'd agreed to this demand for a new rate, we'd have added about 12% to our labour costs. Does that satisfy you? So I refused. Said I couldn't consider it. We were paying the usual rates, and if they didn't like those rates, they could go and work elsewhere. It's a free country, I told them.
It isn't if you can't go and work somewhere else.
Quite so.
Look, just you keep out of this. You hadn't even started in the works when this happened, so they went on strike. That didn't last long, of course.
Not if it was just after the holidays. They'd all be broke, if I know them.
Right, Gerald. They mostly were. And so was the strike. After a week or two. Pitiful affair. Well, we let them all come back. At the old rates. Except the four or five ringleaders who started the trouble. I went down myself and told them to clear out. And this girl, Eva Smith, was one of them. She'd had a lot to say. Far too much. So she had to go.
You couldn't have done anything else.
He could. He could have kept her on instead of throwing her out. I call it tough luck.
Rubbish! If you don't come down sharply on some of these people, they'd soon be asking for the earth.
I should say so.
They might, but after all, it's better to ask for the earth than to take it.
What did you say your name was, Inspector?
Ghoul. G-O-O-L-E.
How do you get on with our Chief Constable, Colonel Roberts?
I don't see much of him.
Perhaps. I ought to warn you, he's an old friend of mine, and I see him fairly frequently. We play golf together, sometimes up at the West Bromley.
I don't play golf.
I didn't suppose you did.
Well, I think it's a damn shame.
No, I've never wanted to play.
No, I mean about this girl, Eva Smith. Why shouldn't they try for higher wages? We try for the highest possible prices, and I don't see why she should have been sacked just because she's a bit more spirit than the others. You said yourself she was a good worker. I'd have let her stay.
Unless you brighten your ideas, you'll never be in a position to let anybody stay or to tell anybody to go. It's about time you learnt to face a few responsibilities. That's something this public school and varsity life you've had doesn't seem to teach you.
Well, we don't need to tell the inspector all about that, do we?
I don't see why we need to tell the inspector anything more. In fact, there's nothing I can tell him. I told the girl to clear out, and she went. That's the last I heard of her. Have you any idea what happened to her after? Get into trouble? Go onto the streets?
No, she didn't exactly go on the streets.
What's all this about streets? Oh, sorry, I didn't know. Mummy sent me in to ask you why you didn't come along to the drawing room.
We shall be along in a minute now. Just finishing.
I'm afraid not.
There's nothing else you know. I've just told you that.
What's all this about?
Nothing to do with you, Sheila. Run along.
No, wait a minute, Miss Burling.
Look here, Inspector. I consider this uncalled for and officious. I've half mind to report you. I've told you all I know. And it doesn't seem to be very important. And now, there isn't the slightest reason why my daughter should be dragged into this unpleasant business.
What business? What's happening?
I'm a police inspector, Miss Burling. This afternoon, a young woman drank some disinfectant and died after several hours of agony tonight in the infirmary.
Oh, how horrible. Was it an accident?
No, she wanted to end her life. She felt she couldn't go on any longer.
Well, don't tell me that's because I discharged her from my employment nearly 2 years ago.
That might have started it.
Did you, Dad?
Yes, the girl had been causing trouble in the works. I was quite justified.
Yes, I think you were. I know we'd have done the same thing. Don't look like that, Sheila.
Sorry, it's just I can't help thinking about this girl destroying herself so horribly. And I've been so happy tonight. Oh, I wish you hadn't told me. What was she like? Quite young?
Yes, 24.
Pretty?
She wasn't pretty when I saw her today, but she'd been pretty, very pretty.
That's enough of that.
And I don't really see that this inquiry gets you anywhere, Inspector. It's what happened to her since she left Mr. Burling's work that's important.
Obviously. I suggested that some time ago.
And we can't help you there because we don't know.
Are you sure you don't know?
And are you suggesting now that one of them knows something about this girl?
Yes.
You didn't come here just to see me then?
No.
Well, of course, if I'd known that earlier, I wouldn't have called you officious and talked about reporting you. You understand that, don't you, Inspector? I thought that for some reason best known to yourself, you were making the most of this tiny bit of information I could give you. I'm sorry. This makes a difference. You sure of your facts?
Some of them, yes.
I can't think they can be of any great consequence.
The girl's dead, though.
What do you mean by saying that? You can't talk as if we were responsible.
Just a minute, Sheila. Now, Inspector, perhaps you and I better go and talk this over quietly in a corner.
Why should you? He's finished with you. He says it's one of us now.
Yes, and I'm trying to settle it sensibly for you.
Well, there's nothing to settle as far as I'm concerned. I have never known an Eva Smith.
Neither have I.
Was that her name? Eva Smith?
Yes.
Never heard it before.
So where are you now, Inspector?
Where I was before, Mr. Croft. I told you that, like a lot of these young women, she used more than one name. She was still Eva Smith when Mr. Burling sacked her for wanting 25 shillings a week instead of 22 and 6. But after that, she stopped being Eva Smith. Perhaps she'd had enough of it for a while.
Can't blame her.
I think it was a mean to do. Perhaps that spoilt everything for her.
Rubbish! Do you know what happened to this girl after she left my works?
Yes. She was out of work for the next 2 months. Both her parents were dead, so she had no home to go back to. And she hadn't been able to save much of what Burling and Company had paid her. So that after 2 long months with no work, no money coming in, living in lodgings with no relatives to help her, few friends, lonely, half-starved, she was feeling desperate. I should think so. It's a rotten shame. There are a lot of young women living in that sort of existence in every city and big town in this country, Miss Burling. If there weren't, the factories and warehouses wouldn't know where to look for cheap labour. Just ask your father. But these girls aren't cheap labour. They're people. I've had that notion myself from time to time. In fact, I thought it would do us all a bit of good if sometimes we tried to put ourselves in the place of these young women, counting their pennies in their dingy little back bedrooms. Yes, I expect it would. But what happened to her then? She had what seemed to her a wonderful stroke of luck. She was taken on in a shop, and a good shop too, Millwood's.
Millwood's? We go there. In fact, I was there this afternoon. For your benefit.
Good.
Yes, she was lucky to get taken on at Millwood's.
That's what she thought. And it happened that at the beginning of December that year, 1910, there was a good deal of influenza about, and Millwood suddenly found themselves short-handed. So that gave her a chance. It seems she liked working there. It was a nice change from factory. She enjoyed being among pretty clothes, I've no doubt, and how she felt was making a good fresh start. You can imagine how she felt.
Yes, of course.
And then she got herself into trouble there, I suppose.
After a couple of months, just when she felt she was settling down nicely, they told her she'd have to go.
Not doing her work properly.
There was nothing wrong with the way she was doing her work. They admitted that.
There must have been something wrong.
All she knew was that a customer complained about her, and so she had to go.
When was this?
At the end of January last year. What did this girl look like? If you come over here, I'll show you.
What's the matter with her?
She recognised her from the photograph, didn't she?
Yes.
Why the devil do you want to go upsetting the child like that?
I didn't do it. She's upsetting herself.
Well, why?
I don't know yet. That's something I have to find out.
Well, if you don't mind, I'll find out first.
Shall I go to her?
No, leave this to me. I must also have a word with my wife. Tell her what's happening. We were having a nice little family celebration tonight. And a nasty mess you've made of it now, haven't you?
That's more or less what I was thinking earlier tonight when I was in the infirmary looking at what was left of Eva Smith. A nice little promising life there, I thought. And a nasty mess somebody's made of it.
I'd like to have a look at that photograph now, Inspector.
All in good time.
I don't see why.
You heard what I said before, Mr. Croft. One line of inquiry at a time. Otherwise, we'll all be talking at once and won't know where we are. If you've anything to tell me, you'll have an opportunity of doing it soon.
Well, I don't suppose I have.
Look here! I've had enough of this.
I dare say.
I'm sorry, but you see, we were having a little party, and I've had a few drinks, including rather a lot of champagne, and I've got a headache. And as I'm the way here, I think I'd better turn in.
And I think you better stay here.
Why should I?
It might be less trouble. If you turn in, you might have to turn out again soon.
Getting a bit heavy-handed, aren't you, Inspector?
Possibly, but if you're easy with me, I'm easy with you.
After all, you know, we're respectable citizens and not criminals.
Sometimes there isn't as much difference as you think. Often, if it were left to me, I wouldn't know where to draw the line.
Fortunately, it isn't left to you,
no.
Is it?
No, it isn't. But some things are left to me. Inquiries of this sort, for instance. Well, Miss Burling, you knew it was me all the time, didn't you? I had an idea it might be, from something the girl herself wrote. I've told my father. He didn't seem to think it amounted to much, but I felt rotten about it at the time, and now I feel a lot worse. Did it make much difference to her? Yes, I'm afraid it did. It was the last real steady job she had. When she lost it for no reason she could discover, she decided she might as well try for another kind of life. So, I'm really responsible? No, not entirely. A good deal happened to her after that. But you're partly to blame, just as your father is.
But what did Sheila do?
I went to the manager at Millwood's, and I told him that if they didn't get rid of that girl, I'd never go near the place again, and I persuaded Mother to close the account with them. And why did you do that? Because I was in a furious temper. And what had this girl done to make you lose your temper? Well, I was looking at myself in the mirror. I caught sight of her smiling at the assistant, and I was furious at her. I'd been in a bad temper anyhow. And was it the girl's fault? No, not really. It was my own fault. All right, Gerald, you don't need to look at me like that. At least I'm trying to tell the truth. I expect you've done things you're ashamed of, or two.
Well, I never said I hadn't. I don't see why.
Never mind about that. You can settle that between you afterwards. What happened? I'd gone in to try something on. It was an idea of my own. Mother had been against it. So I had the assistant, but I insisted. As soon as I tried it on, I knew they'd be right. It didn't suit me at all. I looked silly in the thing. Well, this girl had bought the dress up from the workroom, and when the assistant, Miss Frances, had asked her something about it, this girl, to show us what she meant, had held the dress up as if she was wearing it, and it just suited her. She was the right type for it, just as I was wrong. She was a very pretty girl, too, with big dark eyes. And that didn't make it any better. Well, when I tried the thing on and looked at myself, I knew it was all wrong. I caught sight of this girl smiling at Miss Frances, as if to say, "Doesn't she look awful?" And I was absolutely furious. I was very rude to both of them, and then I went to the manager and told him that this girl had been very impertinent. And How could I have known what would happen afterwards? If she'd been some miserable, plain little creature, I don't suppose I'd have done it. But she was very pretty and looked as if she could take care of herself. I couldn't be sorry for her. In fact, in a kind of way, you might be said to have been a bit jealous of her. Yes, I suppose so. And so you used the power you had as daughter of a good customer and also a man well known in the town to punish the girl just because she made you feel like that. Yes, but it didn't seem to be anything very terrible at the time. Don't you understand? And if I could help her now, I would. Yes, but you can't. It's too late. She's dead.
My God, it's a bit thick when you come to think of it.
Oh, shut up, Eric. I know. It's the only time I've ever done anything like that, and I'll never, never do it again to anybody. I've noticed them giving me a sort of look sometimes at Millwood's. I noticed even this afternoon, and I suppose some of them remember. I feel now I can never go there again. Oh, why did this have to happen? That's what I asked myself tonight when I was looking at that dead girl. And then I said to myself, well, we'll try to understand why it happened, and that's what I'm here. And that's why I'm not going until I know all that happened. Eva Smith lost her job with Burling & Company because the strike failed, and though they were determined not to have another one. At last, she found another job, under what name I don't know, in a big shop, and had to leave there because you were annoyed with yourself and passed that annoyance on to her. Now she'd said to try something else. So, first, she changed her name to Daisy Renton.
What?
I said she changed her name to Daisy Renton.
Do you mind if I give myself a drink, Sheila?
Where's your father, Miss Burling?
He went into the drawing room to tell my mother what was happening here. Eric, take the inspector along to the drawing room. Well, Gerald?
Well, what, Sheila?
How did you come to know this girl, Eva Smith?
I didn't.
Daisy Renton, then. It's the same thing.
Why should I have known her?
Oh, don't be stupid. We haven't much time. You gave yourself away as soon as he mentioned her other name.
All right, I knew her. Let's leave it at that.
We can't leave it at that.
Now listen, darling.
No, that's no use. You not only knew her, but you knew her very well. Otherwise you wouldn't look so guilty about it. When did you first get to know her? Was it after she left Millwood's? Was it when she changed her name, as he said, and began to lead a different sort of life? Were you seeing her last spring and summer during that time when you hardly came near me and said you were so busy? Were you? Yes, of course you were.
I'm sorry, Sheila, but it was all over and done with last summer. I hadn't set eyes on the girl for at least 6 months. I don't come into this suicide business.
I thought I didn't half an hour ago.
You don't. Neither of us does. So, for God's sake, don't say anything to the inspector.
About you and this girl?
Yes, we can keep it from him.
Why, you fool! He knows! Of course he knows! I'd hate to think how much he knows that we don't know yet. You'll see. You'll see. Well, end of Act One.
Thought we did all right.
Wait!